Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. Okay, so how many times, I don't know if you guys know this one, but how many times has Courtney Schaefer or a member of her family come up on the Sent 315 podcast?
Never.
That's
why.
That's incorrect. That's inaccurate. Hopefully, you're.
I haven't paid anybody yet, so.
Yeah.
Dang.
No, you know, the reason why I went, okay, the time has come. We really have to do this, is because we had your cousin on.
Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, and Bruce was transparent and vulnerable.
As he is, yeah.
And he said, "What are you going to ask me? What are we going to go over? Could you write it all down beforehand? All of this." And I love him. And I am completely the opposite. Yeah. With 99% of the people that come on the show, we say we're going to have a conversation like we always have. Mm-hmm. Courtney's always so busy and I'm dawdling somewhere.
Yeah.
We haven't had a conversation of any length for a long time. I just see you having thousands of conversations with all sorts of other people.
She's running a whole farm.
She is. I heard a rumor that she's got, what do they call a baby cow?
A calf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, a calf.
I was literally just about to say baby cow.
No, you did say baby cow.
His name is Chuck.
Chuck the baby cow.
Chuck the baby cow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what else? Just so people get a taste of this, because this goes all over the place, and there's some people who actually don't know you. What do you got at your house?
Oh, gosh. We have a piece of property in Alpine that we feel like the Lord just blessed us with about, it'll be 22 years. We've been there in January, and we have a little bit of everything. We've got some animals. My mom is on the property. My parents were both there. My dad passed away a little over a year ago. Mm. And then we also have a place for our oldest daughter and her husband and our amazing grandchildren, which both of them have been born on the property. So it's a very fertile property that we love dearly, and we just have committed. Brandon and I just thought, if the Lord is going to give us this, we are going to let him do whatever with it. Time and time again, we've been asked to host weddings or events for church. We just had, you said Jess and Alyssa, they were just up there because we had the YV camp.
Mm-hmm.
July, the most miserable month in San Diego. But this July was amazing. It was beautiful. So we had so many events there, from a young adult to, we had the mission there one night for a 4th of July party.
That was really fun.
This is going to go to the very essence of what I really wanted to talk about. Okay. Because when I talked to Bruce, we talked about camp and the camp that you just come to. And I said, wait a minute. Didn't somehow your ancestors start this? And then that's when you came up in your family.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is really important, because I talk to a lot of people where they've been abused, they've been beaten, they've been abandoned, they got angry, they went to prison, and then finally found Jesus, like in prison a lot of the times. But you have a family legacy of Jesus and of service that I want to deep dive into. So that's the thing that I want to do. And we can talk about anything almost. Bigfoot is off the table.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Wait for Brianna.
I guess
thing.
I'll leave.
I have nothing else to talk about.
I heard
about
a rumor Brianna was fired now.
Never. So go back to the beginning. There was Adam and Eve, and then fast forward.
And then my grandparents.
And there we go.
Yeah,
fast forward to your grandparents.
There.
So what was that like?
I mean, I don't feel worthy enough to come, I think, from the family that I've come from. When you say stories like Youth Venture and the students that I do know, my grandparents were missionaries in the Philippines, and my grandpa fell in love with the people over there. Came back home, grabbed my grandma, went back. They needed to support themselves, so he started like a large mahogany wood plant and grew the ministry in the Philippines tenfold. And he was murdered one night taking payroll that he normally didn't do. He had friends in from the States. And the next morning, when the people found out who they had, because they stole payroll and this thing, when they found out who it was, they found out it was my grandfather, and they turned themselves in. So my grandma came back from the Philippines. She had all of her kids. One of my uncles had passed away there. 5 girls, 1 boy, they came back here. And she met another woman, another widower. This was probably like in 66, Ruth Folsom, and they started Indian Hills Day Camp. They would meet kids, and then they would just spend the day, and then they were given the property that they have now, and then it grew from there. So I have that heritage. My aunt, my oldest aunt, went back to the Philippines to be a missionary. She witnessed to the man that was still in prison for murdering my grandfather, and he became a Christian.
Oh my God.
So when I sit here, it's like, I just am in the drippings of family that has walked very faithfully with the Lord. I had an unusual childhood that I was just in this amazing bubble. I was raised in Indian Hills. I grew up there. We either lived close to the camp or on the property many of the years of my life. Gave my life to the Lord at a very young age. I had lost my uncle when I was young. I remember first giving my life to the Lord over that, just so distraught that he wasn't coming. Then I attended camp for years, and Tuesday night was Salvation Talk. And every Tuesday night, I had to ask for salvation again. And I vividly remember one of my camp counselors going, Courtney, you have to stop this. Like this, you're good. You're saved. You're good. And I was like, okay, sure. I just have to make sure, because I have a little bit of like a rebellious spirit. So I just wanted to make sure I was all covered. And so I was raised in that environment. Things changed when I got in high school. We moved away from the camp. I was homeschooled as well. So I lived in this bubble of being raised in a strong church community and Indian Hills. I had all of the staff that raised me. I was homeschooled, so I had the childhood that every child, I think, would want. I was outside all day, riding horses, training animals, doing whatever I wanted to, and it was amazing. We moved when I was in high school. I think I was going into my sophomore year, and my parents had to put me into public school, Valhalla High School. I had never sat in a classroom. We had done homeschool, but with curriculum through homeschool, but never in that type of setting.
Yeah.
And that was wild. That was culture shock for me. I was exposed to things that I never even knew existed. Now that I look back, I think my heart was so hurt by what was going on and seeing how the outside, but I was so tempted by it. So yeah. I walked a couple years in just some real wayward. But what I realized is my faith was like my family's faith. I just banked on.
Yeah.
Great grandparents. My grandma was the most amazing woman you've ever met. Just a pillar of faith. And poured into me. My aunt being a missionary, because I was homeschooled, I would go on trips with them. We'd get in their little Dodge Caravan minivan and drive all over Florida, all the way up the coast, and go to these tiny little churches. My aunt was a missionary through College Avenue, and so she was supported by a bunch of the churches in the Baptist General Conference.
Yeah.
And these little women that would write like a $10 check and mail it to my aunt. So I knew like such a richness of people that I don't think... Even now, I don't think, like, we have the greats of Foothills. Like you mentioned, Lexi Ebert, who's just a woman of faith. There's all these women that were surrounded, but there's just this difference of the faith that came from back then and when you go to other areas. So I experienced that at a young age, but didn't. I just took it for granted.
Yeah, two things can happen. And I've spoken many times at Future Quest. When it's appropriate, I'll ask, okay, so how many of you were born Christian?
Mm-hmm.
So your parents were Christian, maybe your heritage is Christian, and how many of you? Hands will go up around the room, and God doesn't have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
He only has children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so talking about that, it's so tricky because when you're born into a Christian family like you, this incredible Christian bubble, you can talk the talk.
Yeah.
You can look like the duck. So the change has to be real and genuine for it to become your faith.
Your own.
And the other way it can go, and your self-confessed rebellious spirit, you know, of sorts, you can go crazy the other way too. So did you taste a little bit of that?
When I did. There was a couple years. What happened is when I started at Valhalla, we had talked about horses before, but I had been riding horses a long time, and I had some pretty severe head trauma that didn't manifest itself until I got to high school and I started having grand mal seizures my sophomore year. So I just started school, started like experimenting and stuff. Back then it was like parties. You would have parties during the day.
Wow.
It was a lot of money. So they would rent hotel rooms and you could leave school. And it was just like new freedom that I did not even. My parents were like working. My mom had been home with me for years. So I didn't have my own foundation. I was just trying to figure out who I was at this point. And I think the Lord brought my seizures on. I think he's like, I'm going to stop this woman before she makes decisions.
I've got a great idea.
I've got a great idea. Let's like take her driver's license away. Let's put her on medication.
You put someone in prison in the last episode.
Okay. See, there you go.
He's done other stuff.
He'll get our attention in any way. So I started having these seizures. And then it was a year and a half of really scary medical stuff. Come to find out it was trauma from my head injuries from horses. I did something called vaulting. It's like gymnastics on horseback. So
Oh, yeah.
I was really good at it. And I miss it terribly. But as Pastor Dave says, I shouldn't be around or on top of horses anymore after my last little jaunt off the horse. That really changed some things. But what it did is it deposited a little bit of fear. Epilepsy is a tough thing to get past. And the medications were a doozy. And they made me feel things that I'd never felt before. Really had some allergic reactions to some and some suicidal thoughts that I'd never. It was just a crazy thing. And all this being said, I find myself at 17 expecting my first daughter. never thought I would be there. And there's like a kind of a stories that go along to it, just walking in rebellion. And again, epilepsy and then childhood. I feel like the Lord was like, these are things that are going to define you. And I remember when I found out I was going to
have... So when you said childhood, you mean motherhood.
Motherhood, yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Child having a...
Yeah, at a very young age.
At a very young age. And with some major health complications on top of it, because the medication I was on for my epilepsy causes severe birth deformities. So oh, wow. Every doctor is, you have to terminate this pregnancy. You can't do this. And that's where I started hearing the voice of the Lord. I have this for you. And I remember thinking like, I've gone away and he's calling me back. I had an aunt at the time living in Hawaii and I just went to Hawaii for a couple months to get away from everything here and spent time with the Lord. My mom came back over and we were driving, I remember, to the road to Hana. And we were listening to the old worship songs, which I love. I'm like
you
a
sing
Sandy
some of them?
Patty and just feeling such a peace from the Lord. Like he had me. I feel like at times I'm very simple. People like, I need to delve in. What does the scripture say? What does this mean? And I just have this, God has been so good and I'm just going to trust him. I don't want to debate all the points. You can find someone else that wants to debate with you. I just want you to look at my life and look at my family. Mm-hmm. My daughter that was born had no complications.
No,
now
she,
is yeah, beautiful and stunning. And I just committed. Now, was it bumpy some of the time? I had a baby at 18 and in the Christian community where it wasn't acceptable and everybody had the emotions that went along with that, what that looked like. And I just remember just pressing into the Lord, saying this, I got to figure this out. And I did. And he did. Actually, I didn't do much. He did a lot. And I met my husband. She was 6 months old. I met my husband. He was not prepared to meet me. So it took him a couple years.
How did he prepare to meet you? I would like to know about that.
He wasn't walking with the Lord at the time and didn't plan on meeting someone like Courtney Schaefer.
Who wasn't Schaefer at the time?
Wasn't Schaefer. She was Courtney Root. And didn't plan on meeting a young girl that had a baby with all of the stuff. But I was patient. I actually waited. I met him at a party and waited for him. Didn't ask for my number. So before I left, like tapped him on the shoulder like, hey, you really want my number and you really do want to ask me out.
Are you using Jedi mind tricks or something?
Yeah, I did. There's more to that story, but I won't share here for his sake. But if you see my husband and my oldest, they look like they're more related than I'm related, right? And so we got married when she was young and we were just going through the motions. Like he had became a believer when he was young but then no one in his family was believer. So he just didn't have any church community. Mm. Always was like just a good person.
Yeah.
Was going to be a good guy the rest of his life.
He still is. He is a good person.
He is more than good. That man's, he's rad. There's no one like Brandon. But the Lord was just refining what that looked like. I was a single mom when we got married and I was like, he was a good partner. We were going to be partners. Mm. Like the fear of the epilepsy and then having a child, I was going to take care of myself. Like the Lord was there, but I was really strong and I can get things done when I need to get things done. So Brandon was like a part of the puzzle, right? And Brittany was a part of the puzzle and I just was going to power through in that way. And the Lord had other plans. He needed me to learn to be dependent on not just him, but also on my husband and to let people in. So there was a season in our marriage when it was really difficult. I think Brandon will say it's like the first time he really heard the Lord. We were laying in bed one night and it was, this is going to be it. We're going to be done. Our daughter now, Brittany, I think was about 7. Our son, we had a son about a year after we got married. He was baby. And I remember being so desperate. Like I jumped out of bed and got on my knees and I just started crying out to the Lord. And Brandon did the same on his side of the bed.
Oh, man.
And in that bedroom on Boulders Road in Alpine, our first home, we just experienced the Holy Spirit and knew that from that day forward, our marriage was going to be different and we were going to serve the kingdom. We tried to figure out what that meant and it took us some time, but man, it's been so good.
But I'll tell you, doesn't it sound like Christine and Mark?
And
their story
yeah.
is very similar. Gosh. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
And it's, are we done? And so some of the people that on the surface look all polished and it's all cool and it must have been groovy the whole entire time, Sandy Batty, everything's great.
Burn concert.
But the people of substance that I really respect, and you and Brandon are certainly in that boat with me, is that they've gone through hard things. Mm-hmm. First of all, number one, they're grateful because how it could have gone and how it could have been. And then secondly, they have something to share. They have their flavor of the other person's story. Because I'm sure you've mentored a whole bunch of people, right?
A few here and there.
Yeah. And so you can say, yeah, I understand my version of what you're talking mm-hmm. about. And this is what the Lord showed me. Maybe this will be beneficial to you. It's out of harsh mm-hmm. experience. Somebody, I'm listening to somebody, I think it was John Mark Comer, and he mm-hmm. quoted somebody saying about there's a forge, there are two forges that are really tests for us. And one is the forge, the furnace mm-hmm. of suffering. And the other one is of success. And both of those can go very badly. Yeah. But if you give yourself to it, they can really form you more and more into the likeness of Christ.
And they're always mm-hmm. there. They just come in different ways. Like even when I got married, I was working. I love teeth. That's another thing about me. Ferns, teeth, Sandy Patty. Those are the things I'll talk about.
If you need teeth, you can call Courtney at...
I love the whatever. That's weird. But I had this opportunity to start. I was speaking at conferences and stuff like that. And I had all this. I even had a doctor say, I'll send you back through school. You can become an orthodontist. Like, you are built for this. And I remember coming home and looking at Brandon and looking at the kids. And I thought, no, this is what I'm built for. Yeah. I'm built for this right here. And we only had Camden and Britt at the time. And it was like, this is enough for me. Like, even if I'm just here, this is before we were even at Foothills. And now 20 some years later, he's opened that door right back up again. So it was like, you give these promises of things, or you have these, but it's just not in that timing. And that, I think mm-hmm. that's my story, is that it's always been in his timing. Yes, there's been those times of real great trials, but it's so sweet in it. The deepest and darkest times in my life, I have never felt alone.
Yeah.
I have always felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in some way. Mm. And that's not just me. That is like generational. I can't put into words what an honor it is to come from a family that loves the Lord. And if I can't share that with others so that maybe I'll start the next generation, like yeah. you say, Youth Venture or mentoring kids. Like, so my hope is that I'm starting that next generation, so then their family will go on from generation to generation, yeah. knowing a little bit of what I've been able to feel.
I really believe that most people have a mindset that it's like, if you look at it like a tiered cake, mm-hmm. that you have to build your foundation first, and then Jesus and the blessings are the top of the cake. No. Like, you work and you go to school and you get a job yeah. and you get a degree, and then you get your savings and your 401k and everything's perfect. And then once everything's perfect,
then
I can start focusing. Yeah, I can start focusing on like my ministry.
Yeah,
and it really is so instrumental to life when you realize that it's flipped.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
that it's like Jesus first. Following God first, mm-hmm. letting go really of your own desires first, and all those things fall into place, mm-hmm. which goes back to seek first the kingdom of God. But it is hard for a lot of people, because you feel like, if I don't do it, then how's it going to get done?
It's control.
Yeah. Right?
We think we can control. Not that I struggle with that at all, but I've heard other people can struggle with control. It's so true. You think, oh, I need to do all these things first, and mm-hmm. then... you know, I'll figure out the other stuff. And I'm thankful that the Lord just kind of said, nope, you're not going to do it. Put me. And it yeah. just, even when I had Brittany, I was like, okay, Lord, this is going to be my ministry. I'm going to be the teen mom speaker. My first time I spoke as a teen mom, the girls listening to me actually had to minister to me, because my heart was in. I'm so sorry to the people that asked me to come speak. But there's people that don't even know I had a child. That's not my ministry. That's a part of my story.
Sure.
But that's not who I am. I'm a child of God that has different things that brought her closer to him.
Yeah.
And so we think, oh, because I've done this, this is me now. And yeah. we give ourselves these Christian identities that we feel like we can only fit in this bubble. Yeah. And now at this point, I'm like, bring it on, Lord. I don't know what it's, bring it on in a way that I can handle.
A little bit.
We have a great community and God's just been so good, but it's so fun to see. It's just fun to see the things that he's opened up.
Yeah.
And
it's an adventure.
Yeah. And it's not, Courtney is capable of these things. It's that he's in me, he's capable of it all, and I'm gonna roll with it and see yeah. how it goes.
And the point that you just made about, I'm not identified by any individual action. One of our very first shows, our very first guest said, I'm not defined by my disease.
Yeah.
Mm. Rocky, and he had cancer. Mm. And I'm not defined by this.
I remember
this.
That one. Yeah.
yeah.
Amazing testimony.
And so that's really important. The other thing is, we were talking before we went on about the new Youth Venture book coming yeah. out, Kids Like Us. Yeah. We've got another edition of Kids Like Us. And the thing about saying, okay, yes, Lord, I'll do what you've put in front of me, you change the trajectory, the future of entire generations.
Yeah.
You're used as a part of that. I got to read one of the testimonies that is coming soon out in this book. And there's a way that a young man was headed, mm-hmm. and it was onto death, mm-hmm. and then forever changed, and a legacy. So we talk about generational. It's like going forward. Who knows? Your yes could mean an entire legacy of a family. Mm. Like, who led your grandparents to the Lord? Or their parents? I don't know how far it goes back.
Yeah.
So being a part of that, that's the why.
Yeah.
That's the why to get involved, however God made you, to jump into that.
And whatever capacity.
Yeah.
I think we wait to think, like when you text me to be on, I was like, what? I'm not a divorce. I think I went to Brianna. We were at camp, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Like, what is he talking
about? She's all, what does he want to talk about? I was all, I don't know, probably your life.
Maybe.
And then you got like, a great one.
Horse accidents, baby cows.
I told my family, like, I like really don't like structure, but I realized last night I really want structure because when I thought, what are we going to talk about? But
same.
When you say the Kids Like Us book, we were mentioned, our family is mentioned in the first one, and it was just about sitting around our dinner table. Watching Brandon and I in our kitchen making dinner. That was the impact we had on this person that we love. I didn't think I was doing that at the time.
No.
I didn't, the Lord's equipped me to make dinner. It was just like something naturally that happened, and then God used it for his good. Yeah. And now it's like, this is what I can do. I can just open my home people can come over.
Yeah.
I don't have to have the right words. I can love and honor my husband, and I can love and honor my children. And that just brings glory to God. And that people will see that. I just got a text the other day from an old neighbor that I haven't seen in years. And she had a family member pass away. And I haven't talked to this person, I think, in probably like 6 years. And they just said, can you help with this funeral situation? And I think that's just God. I'm just a safe place for some people. Like they know that I'll come back a couple of years. How honoring is that?
Yeah. Sometimes just by walking, by being steadfast, when someone's in crisis, they'll go to you because they remember. What's really very cool is Brianna's in the first Kids Like Us book.
Yeah.
You think him? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know if there's three or two, but I am in one of them.
Yeah. And the thing about it is when we did that at first, and it's just such a cool little book, 2-page stories in this tiny little book, but we gave out like 10,000 in the public school. And then all the people that were in it, like Brianna was in it, they're famous.
Yeah.
They were autographing it,
John
having
Foreman,
pizza parties.
John Foreman from Switchfoot has one.
There we go, see?
We're best friends now.
And then there was this big conference that Mark Hoffman found, one of the founding pastors of our church went to, and I go, dude, I got an idea, Mark. And we gave out and put on the seat at the main session, Kids Like Us books on every single seat in the auditorium. And Mark was speaking. He wasn't the keynote speaker there. He had a big breakout, and everybody was invited to that. And who knows? Like Jeremy right now is helping churches build teen centers all over the country and even internationally.
Yeah.
It's just starting with this single yes and what it turned into. I want to try to fit this one in too.
Okay.
Because just because your grandparents and your parents were Christian and you and Brandon are great Christian parents, that doesn't mean that your kids are going to be these wonderful Christians that they are. It's not a given. So I want to know the elements. And I also want to know if Camden, is he a nuclear physicist yet? Like I remember him, and this could be a fake memory, but he was on a unicycle doing a Rubik's Cube, juggling.
Because remember we used to have Christmas, what was it called? Christmas on the patio, and we'd do those.
Sounds like a fever dream.
That's a cool talent.
No.
You could put that to work.
He did 1 year do the Rubik's Cube, and then the next year he's like, I got to get a unicycle, so we got a unicycle for Christmas.
That's the way the Schaefer minds work.
Why not? Yeah, the crazy thing is I found out about having children is they actually get to make their own decisions. Did you know that? That was news to me.
When they're 40,
they
do.
I understand free will, but I'm sorry, these children don't need to do this. Let's just say I'm trying to do that gracefully. How odd is that? The great thing, I think one of my biggest things with my kid is, so Britt was born to a young mom, right? And so historically, and they say teen moms will have babies again, right? Like it's 8 or something like that. So when Brittany was young, we gave her like a purity ring. And then when she was 18 and she hadn't had like a serious, I got her like a really big purity ring. I think it was like Shane Blayfield and Tim Imposta. And I went to Parkway Plaza, Ben Bridge, and they picked out this ring for her. because they were like brothers to her. And she saw it and she was like, oh my gosh, like no one's going to talk to me. They're going to think I'm engaged. But I was like, okay, we made it till she's 18. We're doing good. And, but she took that purity ring, didn't tell any of us. And when she married her husband, Nick, who is a amazing man of the Lord that comes from an amazing family, she took her purity ring that we gave her when she was 18. She melted it down and made his wedding band out of it.
Oh.
And that was like a testimony to, this is breaking a chain. This is something the enemy had wanted to bring shame and hurt, the Lord had for good. And it was, I don't even think she grasped like what a moment it was. Like the Holy Spirit just fell on that wedding ceremony. And it just, for me as a mom that had worked so hard, yes, I'm honored that her, but it was like the Lord saying, I've seen your good works. Like, I see you, Courtney. And I had such a peace about raising the rest of my kids. And they've just, they love the Lord. They figure it out. Brooke got married. We had always wanted our children. We were like, you have to marry like second generation Christians. You can't, don't meet anybody new that doesn't. And even though I married Brandon and he's a
That was doctor. Missionary dating.
Yes. Thank you. The Lord called me to it.
Yes.
And so our kids, watching them walk, I was explaining this to someone yesterday at work, and going to camp, I've been able to sit in ministry and watch my children work out the gifts of the Holy Spirit from a bystander, like in the back of the room. Camp is something special. Like I grew up at camp, so I love camp. Brandon and I pray that at some point we'll be back in camp. We feel like we're doing ministry together, so this is where the Lord has us. But there's the sweetest moments at all these camps, Pine Valley, Forest Home, where I've sat in the back of the room and watched the Lord use my own children, watch them be filled with the Holy Spirit, watch them pray over friends. I've been able to pray. So I've been able to watch them walk that with the Lord. And it gives you such peace because it may look different than what I think it's going to be. And it may be a little bumpy every now and then, but I know my story. Someone was saying that the hardest transition to go from is being the director of your children's lives to being an audience member. If done well, it can be a graceful transition. And I thought, I want that to be me. Because we always tell our kids, you guys, your relationship is more important than your relationship with us. They're the next generation.
Yeah.
They need to love, honor, and respect their siblings. Brandon and I gave them life and got them on their feet, but then they're going to be the ones to raise their kids together. Yeah. And we're going to be there to shower them with gifts and love on them and drive them crazy every now and then. But that relationship is so important. And so just keeping that mindset, like God gave me the ability to have these children and spend this time with them. And I need to trust him just like he was good in my life and my husband's life. He'll be good in their lives. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And grandchildren are fabulous.
Oh,
they're a really good invention.
Don't you have like 85?
I have 80. No, I don't have 85, but I would.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. I'm still, I feel like young because I started so early.
Yeah.
I'm on the baby side of it, I feel like. So I've got like years left to give them. And it's just, nothing will replace being a parent though. I love my grandkids. I think they're the bee's knees. It's ridiculous. And then like I've adopted other little children that get to be at our house too. But there's nothing like being a mom. There's nothing like that.
Let me ask you this. I was talking with Matt and Brianna. Somebody had, Francis Chan actually told me to do this in a video that I watched yesterday. And he said, who's the wisest person that you have ever known? And what did you learn from them? And then he said, go tell them. If you can, if they're alive, go tell them. So, Courtney, you're the first person on air that I get to ask this to.
Wow.
Who's the wisest person that you've ever known and what did you learn?
Gosh, that's a tough.
It is. Key.
So many names. The one name that comes that has been the most pivotal, I think, in my adult life would be Linda Hoffman.
Great answer.
I still remember a phone call that I got from her in a very dark time at Foothills when I was thinking, like, the enemy was shouting, you need to leave this church. She called and said, you know what? You just were put on my heart. I didn't know her at all. I think I want to mentor you. And I remember like standing in the parking lot of La Mesa Costco thinking, oh no. What does that mean? But then feeling so seen. I had to call her a couple weeks ago. I was having like a little crisis of conscience. I had to call her and say, I need wisdom right ASAP right now. And it just comes out naturally.
Yeah.
So she would be my top in that.
Yeah,
that just
can't argue that.
There's not a conversation where I don't walk away thinking, okay, I got this. I did ask her one time, at what age do you feel like you have finished everything? Like, I feel like I'm tired of repenting and apologizing. And was there an age where you were just like good? And she's like, no, I'm still doing that now, Courtney. I'm like, oh, this is like a lifelong commitment.
Oh, dang.
Not like sanctification just happens and I'm just going to glow like the next 50 years.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be, she's, oh, no.
I'm a little bit older than Linda, not a whole bunch. And yeah, no.
Yeah. So she has been, and there's been so many. There's the people that have poured into my life. It's dumb.
Yeah, no, I get it. And we're fortunate that way. There's people who are listening going, wow, I wish I had that.
Oh, gosh.
And seeking that out is an important thing because wisdom is way different than smart.
But seeking it out, but also listening.
For sure.
So like you probably have met people in your life that you just couldn't even hear from at the time. I sometimes think I'm that for some people. I just had a situation at camp with a young lady and I thought the Lord is using me in her life, but she can't see it right now. Mm-hmm. Like she thinks, she said, I got beef with you. And I was like, oh, we don't actually have beef. I don't have beef with teenagers. Yeah. Bless your heart. But like the Holy Spirit and whatever is going on with you, there's the beef and I'm going to stay here. And it, maybe in 10 years, maybe not ever. That's what I learned. I had to be willing. I had to be vulnerable and I had to be honest. And because there was women before Linda that had poured into my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so great. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. But it just deposited, but it didn't go to the heart. Yeah. I just let it go. Oh, that's good for her. Linda's the one that like pierced through. You get this. Like, you need to get this. This is the Lord saying you need this.
I really want to encourage you as in our conversation before we started, tell her. Francis is right. Tell that person. Because I know for a fact, when somebody comes back and says, you know what? I want you to know the impact that you had on my life. And then you go, whoa, wow. I've been going through a rough season or something. I haven't. You never know the darkness or the struggles that somebody could be going through, especially with all this transition that we have at our church.
Yeah.
You could feel, and I don't think Linda feels this way, but you could feel irrelevant. You could feel tossed to the side because we're all handing off to these young little whippersnappers that are coming up. And like the one in the control room over there. And they're doing such an incredible job. And this generation, I don't know if you feel this way, Courtney, because you're a lot younger than me, but it's like they're so much farther along than I was when I was their age.
Yeah.
I was making all these mistakes and all these choices and suffering consequences. And I look at my children and I go, wow, you're phenomenal in spite of me.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I even said that to our son one time. We had sent him to Colorado Springs. There's the Summit Ministries.
Mm-hmm,
a couple people have gone there. And he came back home. He said, I think, Mom, I might be smarter than you and Dad. I don't know how I feel about that. And I was like, okay, book smart, my dear, but that's about it.
Why would we raise an idiot who would be dumber than us?
And he was like, I feel bad. Like I've had all these. And I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to leave the next generation. They're supposed to be smart. You're supposed to have more opportunity than I had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There are people that hold others back, maybe hold their kids back, but the Lord tells us, like, pour into that next generation. And if each one gets a little bit more.
That's the Joshua principle. We need this next generation to be wiser, smarter, more committed in all of that than we were.
And
that's the whole purpose of
it. That's why we fell in love with Foothills. I was raised in the major churches in San Diego County that I love that deposited the Holy Spirit in me. But when we came to Foothills and we saw the effect, our daughter was going into her seventh grade year and watched youth ministry. It was a Friday night and I think they went in a van to PB. She's like, we're listening to the radio. I think Natalie Rubio was the driver.
Yay!
They were speeding the whole time. Not and I was radio. Like, we didn't check her in. We didn't sign any waivers. They just took them in. But watching the impact and what Foothills has done for youth and the favor that they've given youth and listening to, I think, Mark's first message when he was talking about the Joshua, I was like, this is something different I've not heard.
Yeah.
This I want to be a part of.
And anybody who wants to read the Joshua Principle, I will set some aside. And if you email me at kevinmiller@foothillschurch.org, I will give it to you.
To read
because it. Because this is the foundation for our church and other churches to get their own thing. But if you're interested in seeing generations work together to accomplish incredible purposes of God and change cities and lives and everything, that's a great one. Courtney, pray for the people that are listening.
Okay. Holy Spirit, God, we come before you right now. What an honor and a privilege. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for generations that have poured into your truth. God, we say yes and amen to every conversation, every action, every movement that you have for us to make. Lord, let it be so. Less of us and more of you, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. Let you be glorified. Let you be honored in our words, in our families, in our conversations, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for each testimony that's shared here, God. We love you and we ask all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.